good that we can be here this evening. We appreciate your presence very much. We'd like to study tonight on the subject of titles of Jesus, some of the different titles that are mentioned in the Bible concerning Jesus. There are many titles by which the Savior is called in the Bible. And this study will give an insight into the nature of Jesus, also our responsibility to him. And so it's good for us to study these titles and helps us to understand more about Jesus. First of all, the title of Lord. Jesus is called Lord and Savior in the Word of God. He is our Lord. He is our Master. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here Paul in his letter calls Jesus Lord. Lord means one having power. He has authority. He is the owner. He is the master. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. People in this country, they don't like to think of having a Lord or master, but it's a great honor to be a servant of Jesus Christ and for him to be our Lord and our master. The Bible teaches Christ ownership of us. He owns us. He paid the price that he might be over us. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? He says, you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. And so we are not our own. A price has been paid, and we're under subjection to Jesus Christ. In Titus 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so Jesus gave himself for us. He redeemed us. He paid the price. It's like a person buying a slave. They paid the redeeming price for that slave. Well, Jesus paid the price to redeem us and to save us from our sins. The Bible teaches that Christ is master and we are his servants. In Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul says, But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And so here Paul was thankful that they had obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine, that they had become servants of righteousness, servants of God. And so we are servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our master. It's like Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Many people will call him Lord, but they're not willing to obey him. Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. And so not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. And so Jesus Christ is Lord. He is master. He paid the price. He owns us. Also another title is Jesus, or name. This is the name that Jesus was given. In Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And so God the Father has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name, and that every knee should bow to him. And so Jesus is the greatest name that could be given. He wears that name. God gave it to him. Jesus, the name Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah is the Savior. And so Jesus simply means Savior. He is our Savior. He saves us from our sins. Names often were given because of the significance of their meaning. For example, Jacob means heel grabber. We read when Jacob was born, he grabbed the heel of his brother Esau as they were being born. In Genesis 25, verse 24 through 26, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. His hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And so the name Jacob means heel grabber. And of course, the name Jesus means Savior. God gave Jesus his name. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, the angel said, "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And so Jesus is our Savior. Without Jesus, we would not be saved. We'd have no hope. Then the name Christ is a title given to Jesus. A lot of people think that Christ is his last name, but it was not his last name. He's not given a last name. Yes, he is the Christ. In Mark 8 and verse 29, "And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." The disciples were looking for the Christ to come. Christ means the anointed one. In the Hebrew, it means Messiah. And so over and over, it talks about the disciples looking for the Messiah that was to come. And when they found Jesus, they said they had found the Messiah, the anointed one. The high priests were anointed with oil in the Old Testament. The prophets were called the anointed of God. The kings were anointed. Jesus, of course, is the King of Kings. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah that came to save the world. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, "Which in times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Revelation 17, verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And so the Lamb says shall overcome him. That is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Also, another title for Jesus was an advocate. He is our advocate. In 1 John 2 and verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Yes, when we sin, he says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so he is our advocate, which means called to one's side or to one's aid. Yes, he talks to the Father on our behalf. He aids us. He helps us. The same word is translated comforter, referring to the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 16, he said, "I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And so the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Jesus is our advocate. The advocate was used of counsel for the defense in courts of justice. Generally, one who pleads the cause of another. And this is exactly what Jesus does for us. He pleads on our behalf. When we sin and we repent and ask God to forgive us, Jesus is our advocate. He pleads in our behalf. Yet in order to understand Jesus' word as our advocate, we must look at verse 2 in 1 John 2 and 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a means whereby sin is covered or forgiven. It's through his blood that we are forgiven. He is our advocate. Christ is called to our side and aid as our counsel for the defense. He applies his blood to cover our sins so that they're no longer seen. And so Jesus, through his blood, covers our sins. He's our advocate. He's a propitiation for our sins. Jesus thereby will make the evidence against us inadmissible. Only those baptized into his death have this advocate to make propitiation for them. One who has not been baptized into Christ, Jesus is not their advocate. In Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so we're baptized into Christ, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins, and we walk in newness of life. Also, titles for Jesus, he is an apostle and a high priest. In Hebrews 3 and verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And so Jesus is called an apostle and a high priest. Jesus is God's great apostle. An apostle was one that was sent forth. God the Father sent forth his Son as his apostle. Jesus personally sent the 12 apostles, and he also sent Paul to the Gentiles. Other apostles are also mentioned. In Acts 14, verse 14, says, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out. And so here Barnabas and Paul are called apostles. Jesus is also the high priest of our profession. Back in the Old Testament, they had the high priest that would offer up the sacrifices for the people, their sins. A remembrance was made each year. But his high priest is not after the Levitical order. It was imperfect priesthood with imperfect sacrifices. Yes, those high priests in the Old Testament, they were not without sin, like Jesus. Also, their sacrifices were not perfect. They would not forgive sins. Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In Hebrews 7, verse 11 and 12, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And so the priesthood was changed, and therefore the law was changed. We're not under the law of Moses, but under the law of Christ. And he is our high priest. He offered the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Another title of Jesus is he is our mediator. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there's one God, one mediator, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, one mediator between God and man. We approach the throne of God through Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator. We can't pray to Mary. We can't pray to the apostles. We only pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. A mediator is a go-between with the idea of making peace between two parties. Christ made peace for us with the Father. Sin separates us from God. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. The only one who possesses the nature and attributes of both God and man. Jesus is the only one that qualified to be the mediator of man to God. Jesus is the only one who could make the required sacrifice a sinless Savior. The idea of a pope or any other man mediating between God and man is preposterous, as well as anti-scriptural and impossible. The pope has no power, no authority whatsoever. He's simply a man following the doctrines, the commandments of men. Also, the titles of Jesus, he's author and the finisher of our faith. The author of our faith, in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so Jesus is the author, the finisher of our faith. Author means that which causes something. Christ is the cause of the salvation of the obedient. He is the author. It's through him that we're saved. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Yes, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation, the finisher of our faith. Finisher is one who completes or perfects a thing. Christ is the complete example of faith. He is our example, and we're to walk in his steps. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Also, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Yes, in Revelation 1 and verse 8, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Also in Revelation 1 and verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. This means the first and the last. He is the beginning. He is the end. In Revelation 21 and verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He gives us that water which we'll never thirst. Christ is the entirety of things, the beginning and the end. In Colossians 1, verse 17 and 18, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yes, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the Alpha and Omega. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Yes, he's the head over all things to the church. Colossians 2 and 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The meaning for us in Colossians 1, 28, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so we can be perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. Also, he is called the stone, a cornerstone in the scriptures. Ephesians 2 and verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Yes, he is the most important stone in the building. In 1 Peter 2, verse 6 through 8, says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But in them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And so Jesus Christ is that stone, precious cornerstone. He was disallowed, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to many. The idea comes from Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. Yes, the majority of the Jews rejected Jesus. Christ is the head cornerstone. He is the only one that fits perfectly into the spiritual house of God. Christ was rejected by the Jews and by men in general. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, it was prophesied, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Yes, this stone was rejected, despised and rejected of men. In John 1 and verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own people rejected him. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. And so to many, Jesus was a stumbling stone. Instead of a stepping stone, they stumbled. They rejected him. Some men want to build upon worldly possessions. Others want to build upon other men, like Martin Luther or John Calvin or John Wesley or Joseph Smith. They're not willing to come to Jesus Christ and accept him as being that chief cornerstone. Christ is the only foundation of the church. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, the chief cornerstone. He is the builder of the church. And last of all, he is the bishop of your souls. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. A bishop is an overseer, one who watches for your soul. The same word describes the work of elders of the church. They are bishops. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. And so elders in the church are bishops, they're overseers. Well, Jesus Christ is the chief bishop of our souls. Elders, bishops are to oversee the congregation, but Christ is the head bishop. He's over the elders of the church. Christ watches for our soul and helps us when we're tempted. In Hebrews 2 and verse 18, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." He can comfort us in our temptations. Jesus cares for us. He watches over us. It's like the song, "There's an eye watching you." And so Jesus is the bishop and shepherd of our souls. In conclusion, there are many more titles that we could study, but these should help us to understand what Christ has done for the salvation and the world. They describe the work which makes salvation available. Yet man must accept Christ, allow Christ to be these things to him by obeying the gospel. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He cares enough to suffer and to die on the cross for our sins. Yes, he is our Lord and our Master. He is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah that was to come. He fulfilled all the prophecies concerning the Messiah. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. Yes, he is the bishop of our souls. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to come to Jesus Christ, who will save you if you obey him. You must believe and have faith. You must repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the blood will cleanse your sins. You'll be added to the Lord's church and be a faithful Christian. You can go home to heaven. And so if you're in any way subject to the gospel call, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?